Support for Petri Dish is made possible by UT Health San Antonio, committed to transforming the health of the community through the team that tackles problems from every angle, doing everything it takes to bring each patient the best possible outcomes. From teaching tomorrow's healthcare leaders to translating research into new treatments, UT Health San Antonio strives to make lives better. Learn more at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Hi, Congressman. How are you doing? It's great to see you.
Congressman Joaquin Castro represents his hometown of San Antonio, and on a rare snowy afternoon in Washington, D.C., with little kids sledding on Capitol Hill, we met in his office.
All right, where are you listening?
See, just over a year ago, surgeons took pieces of his colon, his small intestine, 44 lymph nodes, his appendix, and his gallbladder. Leaving tumors on his liver, it was too risky to remove them.
Yeah.
Castro has cancer. He'll likely have it for the rest of his life. But now he lives and works and has good reason to believe his life will be long, thanks to a Spanish boar. I'll let him tell the story.
I was in Spain. I was in Bilbao, Spain, and I was finishing up my fourth year of being chair of this organization, the U.S. Spain Council. And the last dinner had been out at this, what seemed like a little bit more of a rural place that was in what looked to me like an old European-style castle, somewhat remote. And so on the way back, I was actually in a car, and the driver hit a boar while going about 70 miles an hour. And I don't blame him, because I did not see that thing until it appeared almost like an apparition in front of our car. And it was so quick. It was one of those things where in my mind, I saw it appear in front of us and I thought, wait a minute, we're headed right for this thing. We're going to hit it in a sec. And then boom. And, you know, it ruined part of the front part of the car, cracked the windshield, the airbags came out. But everybody in the car was okay. It was myself and the driver and a few other people. So the EMS eventually showed up and they asked me if I wanted to go to the hospital. And I was a little bit surprised because I didn't, you know, there was nothing obviously wrong with me. But my hand had started to swell up a little bit and it was getting red. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I broke a small bone or something in my hand. But otherwise, I felt fine. And so I thought, but, you know, to make sure my hand's okay and for insurance purposes, if I have to go follow up when I'm home, let me just go to the hospital. But when I got there, I think it may have been a kind of a teaching hospital because it was young folks that looked mostly like, you know, maybe they were in medical school or just, you know, post-medical school. And they put that neck brace on me and they treated me like a trauma patient. And they said, you know, we've seen a lot of accidents over the years on these roads, and the damage isn't always readily apparent. You know, you can't always tell right away what injuries people have sustained. So basically, better safe than sorry. And they put an IV in me with, I had never had an MRI with contrast. And the doctor was actually about to discharge me. They moved me over to another room. And the last thing you do in a hospital when you're about to get out of there is they take the IV out. And so they were going to take the IV out. And then the doctor came back and, you know, she closed the curtain and, she was, you know, speaking both combination of English and Spanish, but she basically said that her radiologist had called her and that he had seen what he believed were two neuroendocrine tumors that had moved up from my small intestine into my liver. And I had to ask her again because I couldn't even pronounce the word neuroendocrine. But I knew that anytime somebody's telling you that you've got tumors inside you, it's not a good thing. and that they've spread even worse. And so, you know, that was essentially the moment in the outskirts of Bilbao, Spain, that I found out that I had cancer.
From Texas Public Radio, this is Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Chairman. This impeachment against Secretary Mayorkas is a sham. The process was a sham. The charges are a sham.
Joaquin Castro has represented San Antonio in Congress since 2013.
If that's the case, then why go through all of this trouble?
Here, he's on the House floor condemning the attempt to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
They use these people to scare Americans. That's how they want to win. And that's why we're here. Because there's nothing else. Nothing else left.
He can be a firebrand.
This is a show trial. It's a sham. I yield back, Speaker.
But he also takes time to come home and talk to kids who are not much different than he was a few decades ago.
I grew up on the deep west side of San Antonio. I went to Gato Hall Elementary, which is by Rhodes, if you all know where that is. I went to Pafoya, which is by Lanier, and then I graduated from Jefferson.
Here, he's talking to the kids at Burbank High School in San Antonio as he delivers a $4.5 million federal grant for career and college readiness at Burbank and six other San Antonio high schools.
I was wondering, how has being a politician changed your opinion on other politicians and
Yeah, that's a great question. I think our time is too short for a full answer.
From his humble start on San Antonio's west side, Castro went to Stanford. He went to Harvard. Castro is a lawyer who's been in public service for 22 years. But when he got that cancer diagnosis, he was just a regular guy.
There's just so much that goes through your mind. Obviously, ultimately, whether you're going to be okay, how long you're going to be able to live. But my wife and I have three young kids. And the day that I was diagnosed, our youngest daughter turned 2 months old. So, you know, in my mind, I was wondering for my kids, are they going to have their father around for a number of years, you know, for 20, 30 years or more, or not, you know, is my daughter going to be 14 years old and, you know, be without a father, and be thinking about you in memories or in photograph. So that was some of the toughest part. I mean, I think it, to some degree, people handle it differently, and obviously continued my work, but it's always on your mind, especially in those early days. It's with you every day, weighing on you, and it's a very, very heavy, obviously, on you. So I think there is a kind of depression and sadness, but also I think a hope that medicine will and treatment will get you through it. And also I think a newfound appreciation for the people in your life and their, you know, just how much they mean to you.
Castro tried to arm himself with information, but Dr. Google is rarely a comfort when it comes to cancer. And Castro says Googling neuroendocrine cancer did not offer much reassurance.
This was a cancer that Steve Jobs died from, for example. I think Aretha Franklin also. And then it's also, because of technology, they're detecting more cases now of people who have these tumors because they can be kind of like silent tumors that then at some point become especially problematic for your body. So yeah, I mean, I tried to get informed, but even that, I think for anybody, whether it's cancer or another illness, there's kind of a balance that I had to strike with myself, because if you read too much, you can depress yourself so much about your potential lifespan. I remember in San Antonio, my wife was with me for the early visits, and we went to one doctor, and we're sitting there, and he says the average lifespan for these tumors is between 5 and 7 years. And so right away you're faced with a timeline, and I think my wife almost passed out. I mean, it's because you're listening to a kind of finality. Ultimately I got better odds than that later on, but yeah, I mean, it's obviously very serious.
You know, we've all seen scenes in movies where a kindly, wise old doctor delivers a cancer diagnosis, then confidently shares a treatment plan that will save the day. Castro says his experience was not like that.
You know, it's interesting in medicine. Medicine is a science, right? As opposed to art, right? That's kind of like the two polar opposites that we think about. But one of the doctors that I saw early on in San Antonio told me something that turned out to be very prescient and accurate. He said, look, if you go to 4 different surgeons, you will get 4 different answers about how you should approach this. Some people will say that you should operate right away. Some people will say that you should wait a while and see how the tumors develop and whether they're more threatening and then make a decision to operate. Some people will say you should take this piece out and not that piece. And that was actually correct. I expected maybe to go in there and they give you one answer. It's like you have a cold, go take, Sudafed or something, and that's how you're going to deal with it. But this turned out to be absolutely medical science, but also some art involved in treatment, different perspectives on how to intervene with these tumors. And it varied a little bit from doctor to doctor. And even the timelines that I was told for survival were a little bit different among folks. I remember one of the doctors told me, you're not going to die from this. You're going to be okay. And then somebody else said, the average is, again, one of the doctors said, well, the average is like 5 to 7 years. And then somebody else said, well, like 9 to 12 years. And, but so you kind of, as a patient, you're not getting like a clear, certain answer, definitive answer about this is exactly how it is, and this is how it's going to go, and this is exactly what you need to do. And so some of it is sorting through it yourself, which as a patient, who, if you've never faced anything like that, it is a little bit mind-blowing at first. But in all of my understanding, and because honestly, I want to be optimistic, but also I think because right now, at least, the PET scans and MRIs and everything support it. If I can keep these tumors at bay, keep them from growing significantly, then I think I will be okay for quite some time.
So, Congressman Castro, just over a year ago, you had a pretty major surgery at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston that sort of allows you to have a sense of optimism, it seems, about the future. Tell me about that.
Yeah. No, I had, I think it maybe was a 5-hour surgery, 5.5-hour surgery. And they took out part of my small intestine, part of my colon, like 44 lymph nodes, and I think 20 of them or 21 of them were cancerous, and then my appendix and my gallbladder. So I stayed in the hospital for 10 days over in Houston. It was quite an experience, just being there, and you can barely eat anything, and, you know, everybody, but there's a kind of a community, because at MD Anderson, after post-surgery, they put you in wards with people, I think, that have gone through the same kind of treatment or surgery. Not everybody necessarily with neuroendocrine cancer, but people that are in a similar situation. And so, you know, you see people and everybody's doing laps around these wards, trying to, they're having you walk several times a day. You know, just to see everybody in their condition and everybody personally trying to make it back up, was incredible. But yeah, I lost like 18 pounds, close to 20 pounds. A sure way to lose weight, but I don't recommend it. you know, and then just the recovery after that, you know, it takes its toll on your body and then on your family and people around you. My wife was obviously so helpful, and my family, and but I feel now, I feel pretty good. Even though I have a small hernia from everything, I got to go fix that at some point.
I've had several abdominal surgeries, among them an open colon resection, and I've had my gallbladder removed. I've had a hernia repaired, but they were all at different times. That's a lot all at once.
Yeah, it was a lot. And, you know, I, again, like, I think everybody has to decide for themselves how much information they take in. But I didn't want to read so much information that I was going to scare myself to death, you know, about the surgery or about, you know, because I remember I was talking to my wife afterwards, some months after, and I looked up, I don't know if I looked it up or I somehow came across the riskiest surgeries, and like three of the top five things were things they took out of me. And I thought, I'm glad I didn't see this before I had surgery, because that's exactly what I didn't want to go in with that mindset.
I'm sure there were moments, though, when you were just, you know, scared.
Yeah, I mean, but more than that, I mean, really, like, I was scared for my family. Because, you know, I had a grandmother that had lost her parents early in life. I saw how traumatized she was throughout her life because of that. Her mom, I think, died of tuberculosis, I want to say, and her father had died before that. And she never was able to get over losing her parents early in life like that. And I didn't want that for my kids. I don't want that for my kids. And so that was a kind of fear in itself. But I feel like I've been able to manage that. And also, you know, politics is just, my job has just grown more intense. So some of it is burying yourself in the work too. And I don't feel like I've talked about it. I've written about it a little bit. I spoke about this, so I don't feel like I've avoided it. But I do feel like, you know, you find that life goes on, like things go on and move on, right? Like, around you, and you gotta jump back into what you're working on and doing and in your life.
When Castro talks about his grandmother and his family history, he tells me that his cancer diagnosis kind of took him by surprise. Until his unexpected meeting with a boar in Spain, he pretty much stayed away from the doctor's office.
And then I also was just always watchful of diabetes. Yeah, my grandmother died from complications of diabetes. My mom is a type 2 diabetic. So in San Antonio and South Texas, particularly among Hispanics, that's kind of what you're watching for on the road. And I wasn't really thinking about cancer for me. But it turns out that my grandfather, who I never knew, my mom's dad, actually died of cancer. And I had known that, and it was like a memory way in back of my mind. But because I never knew him, it was one of those things where I was never really thinking about it as a possibility for me. You know, and genetics is one component of it, obviously. But yeah, I mean, you know, there was a family history there.
And turns out Hispanics in Texas should be watching for cancer on the road because it's now the leading cause of death in the Hispanic population, with breast and prostate cancer leading the way. But in South Texas, there are also high rates of liver, stomach, gallbladder, and cervical cancer.
Yeah, no, I mean, it turns out that cancer is a bigger threat to Latinos in South Texas than I think most people think about or give credit to. Again, I think we're so consumed with the idea of diabetes, which is a very pernicious disease. But cancer claims a lot of lives in the Latino community and obviously beyond.
Why is cancer so deadly in this population? Well, one reason is too many don't get screened. So by the time their cancer is found, they're already in the fight of their lives. That's one reason Castro is telling his story.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to share my story, you know, first because it's hard to hold everything in, especially when you're in a public position. You know, I think when you run for office and you pledge to do a job, then I think the public has a right to know what's going on with you. But that was part of it, because I hold a public office. But also, because I hope that it will be helpful to folks if they can be aware of neuroendocrine cancer and other cancers and take a step to find out, certainly sooner than I did. Because again, like I didn't avail myself as much as I should have of preventative treatment.
When our conversation with Congressman Joaquin Castro continues, he tells us about the monthly medication that keeps him alive.
This lanreotide shot, the base, the cost of it, the list price of it before the cost is negotiated down between the insurance company and the provider, was something like, ended up being like $24,000 per shot.
That's next when Petri Dish continues.
Support for Petri Dish comes from Mama's Cafe, serving elevated comfort food, craft cocktails, and Texas beers on tap, 7 days a week. More information at mamascafesa.com.
Welcome back to Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri. Just over a year ago, San Antonio Congressman Joaquin Castro had a 5.5-hour surgery for neuroendocrine cancer. But he still has tumors on his liver.
Yeah, I mean, there's two. There's one main one, and then another one, and then a bunch of small ones. And yeah, I mean, it's all about just controlling their growth and hopefully stopping them from growing. And so I have to take a shot every month of a drug called lanreotide, and I take it over at the Health Science Center. And it's supposed to help slow the growth or freeze the growth of the remaining tumors.
He'll have cancer for the rest of his life. As he tweeted last summer, he will never get to, you know, ring that bell. But unless something changes, cancer won't take his life, he says. Castro is wide open to sharing what this experience has been like as a human being. But he also is experiencing it as a policymaker.
I had to become an expert on insurance, which I'd never done before. Like I said, I hardly ever. I went to the doctor when I needed to, but I didn't really need too much over the years. I've been pretty healthy. And so, you know, I had to figure out exactly deductibles and copays and in-network and out-of-network. And then this lanreotide drug is part of a special kind of drug within some insurance coverages. And, you know, it turns out I had been really paying too much for my policy before, you know, because I wasn't going to the doctor much. But now I'm definitely getting my money's worth on insurance, even though, you know, I'm still paying like several thousand dollars. I paid several thousand dollars in 2023, which is, for a lot of folks, is crippling. You know, fortunately, I have pretty good insurance, even though I think the general public, a lot of people think that insurance is free for members of Congress when it isn't. You've got to pay for it. So I pay like $1,300 a month for my coverage and for my family's coverage. But even with that very good insurance, it was still very expensive out-of-pocket costs.
Okay, so as a congressman, what was your takeaway from all this?
Well, a few things. I mean, it's reaffirmed my belief that everybody should have healthcare coverage, that we need to move as a country towards universal healthcare coverage, whether that's Medicare for All or some other system that covers people. Because this lanreotide shot, the base, the cost of it, the list price of it before the cost is negotiated down between the insurance company and the provider was something like, ended up being like $24,000 per shot.
Per shot, once a month, for the rest of his life, unless better treatment comes along.
And that got negotiated down, at least by Blue Cross Blue Shield, to about $6,500. So every time I took the shot once a month, Blue Cross Blue Shield would pay the provider, the Health Science Center, $6,500.
So his insurance company, you know, experts in this, negotiated the cost down from $24,000 to $6,400 every month.
So my mind as a policymaker immediately goes to the idea of what happens to the people that have no healthcare coverage or they're underinsured. And it's devastating for a lot of people.
There's this concept in the world of cancer treatment called financial toxicity, which describes the harmful effect of the high cost of treatment on a person's quality of life. It has been analyzed and dissected, but there aren't a lot of good solutions. If you have insurance, treatment can still be an overwhelming financial burden. If you don't, then what?
Well, you know, fortunately, you know, in places like Bexar County, there are programs that help people pay for it or cover the cost for it. But there's also a lot of people, I'm convinced, that don't get the full range of medical care that they need to survive in the long term because they don't have the means to do it. And, you know, another thing that was very revealing, you know, I was fortunate to be able to go to MD Anderson. I think as Texans, we're fortunate that you have that quality of hospital there in Houston. And the Health Science Center in San Antonio has been great as well. But a lot of our even public institutions don't accept insurance coverage that is purchased off of the healthcare exchange. And so what happens then is that a lot of people who have healthcare coverage that they've purchased are not able to get into a place like MD Anderson or other healthcare institutions and get the coverage they need.
And that's true. MD Anderson and many other top-tier hospitals don't accept private health insurance plans sold on the Affordable Care Act exchange.
So that's a policy I believe should change in Texas. Yeah, because whoever you are, you should be able to get the coverage and the treatment, most of all, that you need to survive.
I think that's something we can all agree on, even if we don't agree on how to get there. You know, we haven't mentioned Castro's brother. Joaquin Castro is an identical twin, and his brother, Julian, also has an impressive resume. He was mayor of San Antonio for years before joining President Obama's cabinet as the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. I recently looked up at my television and there he was hosting a national network news show. Like I said, impressive. Some cancers can be genetic, and identical twins have identical genetics.
You know, he went shortly after I got diagnosed, he went and got an MRI and it didn't show anything, thankfully. But I think, you know, he would be smart to continue getting checked. Even though, you know, at MD Anderson, they had said that with these types of tumors that they had not seen, at least as far as they could tell, a super strong genetic, risk among siblings. They didn't know about twins, but with siblings, they had not seen that there was a super risk. So that was good. And I told my brother that. But yeah, I mean, I think he understands that he needs to continue to get checked.
And that's really the moral of this story for everyone in Castro's mind. He counts himself deeply lucky that he found himself in a car that careened into a boar in the Spanish countryside. The strangest of circumstances, really, in which to get a cancer diagnosis. But if it hadn't happened, he still might not know he had cancer. It might still be silently spreading, consuming pieces of him, poised to make him too ill to treat before he even suspected he was sick. He doesn't want that for anyone else, either.
I hope that for those of you who were like me and were just averse to being checked for whether it's diabetes or cancer or something else, I hope that you'll go out on a limb and actually go out there and get checked. And that it really can save your life. And in saving your life, will be a great thing for your family and the people around you and the people that love you and the work that you do that's valuable to society. So please go out there and get checked.
Excellent advice. Thank you, Congressman Castro. So when I was talking to Congressman Castro, I had no idea that someone close to me was also in the fight of their life. Joyce Slocum, president and CEO of TPR, was experiencing a resurgence of the colon cancer that she had bravely beat many years ago. Joyce fought so hard with the grace and dignity with which she conducted her entire life. Still, this time, cancer won. I was just thinking that when Joyce's cancer won, we all lost. And of course, my heart feels like that's true. But honestly, we all won just by having her in the world at all with us. Her obituary celebrates her as a titan of public media, and she was that. She was a champion of this show, too. It wouldn't exist without her. But as Texas Monthly wrote about her, quote, she was also one hell of a friend. And that's what I want you to know about her. When I came to TPR many years ago, I was a single parent with a daughter in middle school who needed a lot from me at the time. And Joyce had created such a culture of compassion that I not only had the support and flexibility I needed to parent my child in the way that she needed, but I could also still do meaningful work. My daughter is now in college, and Joyce helped make that possible. She was constant. That woman is constant as the stars, and I will miss her so very much. In her honor, please do as Congressman Castro urged and talk to your doctor about what screenings you may need and what lifestyle choices you might need to make to reduce your risk of developing cancer or to catch it when it's early enough to treat. Please do that. Please do that for Joyce. Thank you. This episode of Petri Dish was produced by TBR News Director Dan Katz, Jacob Rosati, and me. I wrote the show, Jacob Rosati composed all the music, and created the sound design. Petri Dish is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Petrie. Talk to you soon.